You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts. Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Gentlemen, how are you feeling this morning?
Doing well, you know what I'm saying? We're through another NFL Sunday. Mixed reviews on it, so far, you know. But for the most part, feeling good. How you doing, Mr. Sussman, back in the fold?
I'm feeling good, man. Nice. I'm happy to be back here. I'm telling Matt, my apartment is very hot, so it's actually a shock to come to the studio and feel cooler. You know, it's very weird for me, but I'm feeling good.
Nice.
Thank you. Wall Street, good morning.
Good morning. It is, you know what? These odd weeks have been very kind to me. I just really like the odd weeks. So, you know, hopefully I can get some good even weeks going forward. Currently sitting third overall in the online championship and doing pretty well in the prime time as well. So hopefully good things keep on rolling.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. You know, yesterday was a day of football. I guess you could call it that. Some things happened. Julio Jones finally found the end zone. Where at least I'll say this: throughout the game last night, they targeted him in the end zone. They tried to get him in the end zone. They ultimately did, which was good. The rest, there are a couple of injuries we're gonna get to here in a little bit. I would say nothing that ultimately shocked me in any way. I don't think.
There was a couple of things I thought. Look, nobody puts baby in the corner. But I'm going to put my boy Cam in the corner
after
that performance yesterday against the Bears. I mean, the Bears ran, I think, 37 offensive plays. And, you know, at least the week before, he didn't have a good throwing week, but he put the fantasy points up. But to put 3 points up was just terrific. Bad job by him. And the Matt Ryan almost getting shut out again. They went 91 minutes and 30 seconds of shutout football. I mean, Sarkisian, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah, dude, I mean, it's absolutely insane. And tell you what, not to put all the blame on Sarkisian, which I want to put most of the blame on it, but the Patriots' defense is rounding into form a little bit here. It was worse defense in the NFL, but what is it? I feel like they're rounding a little bit into the correct form.
That was the get-well week for Matt Ryan, right? That's what we all thought. That's what the Patriots' defense has been.
Yep.
The telling stat at the half, Mohamed Sanu had 8 targets. Julio Jones at 4.
So stupid. It's so stupid. When teams just don't throw their best player, it will always absolutely boggle my mind. Corey, anything surprise you yesterday?
My boy came out and he put up almost 400 yards and 4 touchdowns versus the Bills' defense on the road.
That was crazy.
Then nobody saw that coming doing that with that sprained AC joint. Jameis went out there like a warrior. He does not. I'm sorry. I benched him. Send him back over here, Greg.
I almost called him a bust. I was in the process of saying, is he possibly a bust this year? And then he goes and
he had a great game.
Yeah, that second half.
Yeah, so he's not going to be on the bench no more. I'm sorry I benched you.
Absolutely not. That one was messed up. That was the major surprise to me, for sure. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. Let's get into that Bucks game. We also got a couple of quarterback injuries to get to. We're going to go through it all over the next 3 hours. This is the Roto Experts here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Here on the Roto Experts, gotta tell you, Corey.
Yo,
not happy.
Why are you?
You were not happy. I'm very happy. I'm happy to be here.
Why do you think I'm not happy?
Because the music was not.
That was I did that hurt my ears a little bit.
I enjoyed it. Yesterday, Jameis Winston defied the odds. This is a dude that didn't throw last week, right? Like, barely threw when it came to Friday. And every expert, including the guys to my left, said, don't start this dude. Don't do it.
I couldn't do it.
This was the one. It was the one game, Matt Modica, and you're the one that's trying to get all the feels on the Bills, and you're like, I feel really good about this one. All week you said it, and they won.
The first half, it looked like I was right.
Yeah, you know,
I was like, okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And I was doing Fantasy Football Live yesterday with George Kurtz, and I'm like, is there going to be a point in the season where we have to call Jameis a bust? And then Jameis goes out and starts like, he even hit DeSean Jackson on a deep ball, and that was called back. So, you know.
It was just such a weird week, because the narrative was that Jameis Winston couldn't throw. He was hurt. He had this bad AC joint. He couldn't throw deep. We thought we'd see a lot of intermediate passing, a lot of short passing. It just wasn't a game to start all of these Bucks. And, of course, Jameis Winston throws the ball 44 times in a loss, while Mitchell Trubisky threw it 7 times in a win. We'll get to that in a little bit. 44 times, 384 yards, season high, 3 touchdowns, and an interception. If you started any Bucs pass catcher, you probably didn't even feel good about doing so. That's not Mike Evans. And they rewarded you. Mike Evans, 7 for 88 and a touchdown. Cameron Brate, 6 for 60. DeSean Jackson, 5 for 73. And we finally saw the emergence of the Hall of Famer.
Get that jacket out, Corey.
O.J. Howard, 6 receptions, catching all 6 of his targets, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. The game you, sir, were waiting for.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you saw yesterday what he really is able to do. The kind of matchup problem he creates. There's a reason why he's wide open on those plays when he scores. It's because these dudes can't keep up with him in coverage. Now, listen, Cameron Brate is going to continue to out-target him in the passing game. But O.J. Howard, I'm thinking we're getting to the point when we have these massive bye weeks coming up in Week 8 and Week 9. I think he needs to be on rosters in 12-team leagues.
Yeah, and what's interesting, yesterday going into the game, the Bills had only allowed 2 passing touchdowns. Jameis threw for 3. But the play of the game that wound up winning it for the Bills was Tre'Davious White getting that forced fumble. That kid has been an outstanding rookie. He's really been a find for Buffalo, but I still would have rather had the 10th pick in Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or somebody like that.
Sure, we'll get to a team that probably should have drafted a quarterback in just a bit. This guy's team is just amazing. Oh, my goodness.
Who's that?
This team in my league is very good.
Okay.
They're about to be 7-0 and just...
That's kind of like my Staten Island Home League. We got the high score again for the fifth time in seven weeks.
You're just printing money at this point.
Yeah, my and my friend is like still never happy. He's bitching about everything. I'm like, dude, we just got the high score again. You know, just it's all working out. Don't worry about it.
Things are good. You said something a second ago, Corey. You think O.J. Howard in 12-team leagues has to be picked up, right? That's what you said?
Yeah.
Here's my question with that. Like, given that Cameron Brady is still a major part of this offense,
yes,
right?
No doubt.
Like, major part. He's still out-targeted O.J. Howard. He had 6 for 60. So, like, he had a good game in his own right. Yep. We've said Cameron Brady is must-start every week. No doubt about it. You throw him in your lineup, you forget about it. And, yep, and things are good with Cameron
Brady. Said it, forget it.
Absolutely. Can this offense sustain starting two fantasy tight ends? That seems like a little bit of a stretch to me.
I think it can sustain starting two tight ends because, I mean, look at some of the tight ends we're picking up off the waiver wire now. The Nick O'Leary's and the A.J. Derby's and guys like this. Why not O.J. Howard? If he's going to get this kind of action, if he's going to get this work, sure, he may only catch 2 or 3 passes, but one of them will likely be a touchdown.
And see, here's the thing, like Corey's saying, I drafted in my super. I had Ebron and Fleener, who are obviously two dogs.
Sure.
I cut Fleener a couple of weeks ago. I cut Ebron this week. I picked up Njoku like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I picked up Easy Ed Dixon this week, against the Bears. Linebackers all out, you know. So when you're going and getting guys like that, I would rather have an O.J. Howard and take that boom or bust, the hit or miss. At least I know maybe he'll catch 5 passes, a touchdown, or have the week like he had yesterday. There will be weeks where maybe it's there's like, nothing. There's nothing. Yeah. But I'd rather at least have that opportunity.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, you brought up Nick O'Leary, who played on the other side of this game. O'Leary, two catches, 58 yards. The touchdown to the tight end happened. We were right about that. It's with the Logan Thomas, the former quarterback, out of Tech. And Logan Thomas, one catch, one touchdown, on 22 yards. And that goes to Nick O'Leary. All the Nick O'Leary truthers are just like, we nailed this, right? Like, we absolutely crushed it. And my kind of the other side of that, Corey, is I know, theoretically, that Nick O'Leary, outside of LeSean McCoy, is going to be the top passing target in this Bills offense. Like, he's going to be, I think. I know he only had two targets yesterday compared to nine for Zay Jones, who sucks. No offense, Matt. But he's terrible.
He does, but and I'll give him one defense. He is a slot receiver. He needs to be in the slot. You're taking a guy that played five wide, and now you're putting him on the outside. His rookie season, he's dropped passes. I'm really not trying to make excuses for him, but he's being misused to where, you know, if you want to get the full potential out of him, you have to put him in the slot.
Fine, but maybe the Bills are too silly to do that or don't have the personnel to be able to do that. So for our purposes, Zay Jones has been a massive disappointment, obviously. But you look at the rest of this Bills passing offense. Deontay Thompson signed on Tuesday. He leads
hell of a catch, though. You see, he got rocked on that, too.
He did. Leads the team in yards with 107. I feel like they just effectively replaced Marquise Goodwin here with Deontay Thompson.
But what the hell are the Bears doing if they're cutting this guy? They're completing four passes. They're cutting this guy, who seems obviously better than anything they got there.
Well, I want to talk about the Bills in a second, because I figured out what the Bills are doing. So throw that in a second. LeSean McCoy scores his first touchdowns of the year. He scores two of them on the ground. Should have had a third through the air. 23 carries, 91 yards, and two touchdowns. Here's something the fantasy industry as a whole got right this week. Everybody said that the one streaming option of Tyrod Taylor is out there. You should pick. He's the guy this week. 53 yards on the ground, 268 yards through the air. He had a touchdown. Tyrod was good, and the schedule upcoming for him is going to be even better, Corey.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that you can stream, especially when you got these big bye weeks coming up with all these teams on the bye. So I feel as if Tyrod Taylor, like you said, not only are you going to, you're never going to get the 300 yards passing the four touchdown game, but he gave you 50 yards on the ground. That's an extra touchdown right there.
We're basically at the point with Tyrod Taylor that we are kind of every year, right? Like, early in the year, you don't want Tyrod. You talk yourself out of drafting Tyrod Taylor because you're right. He can't get the 400-yard game. He can't do what Jameis Winston did yesterday. Like, that's not going to happen. But he's going to run the football with his legs. And if you look at this upcoming schedule for Tyrod Taylor, it's going to be good, I think. I think there's a lot to like with starting Taylor as a stream if you had like an Aaron Rodgers injury, because now you face the Raiders, the Jets. I know the Saints are a little bit better. The Chargers can run on. The Chiefs is a tough matchup. Then you get the Patriots, the Colts, the Dolphins, the Patriots, the Dolphins. I mean, things are looking up, Matt, for Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, the problem with Taylor has been he has like no touch passes. Everything is just like a bullet. I mean, he can throw the deep ball good and stuff. He just, for some reason, has never been able to find that intermediate, the nice little touch pass and stuff like that. Look, the Bills are going to be a competitive team. My fear is, though, it ends up being like an 8-8 once again. And then, look, if Tyrod is your backup quarterback, you could be doing a hell of a lot worse in this quarterback landscape currently.
Yeah, oh, there's no question about that. Should we, I don't know if you could do it now, but should we have been more in on LeSean McCoy here? Because I thought he was a name that people weren't all excited about. You know,
he got his first touchdown. It's only
his first touchdown of the year.
Yeah, so.
But he is easily still a starting running back. We're always dying to find
him. I worry about his health moving on. Yeah, I'm worried about his health moving forward down during the stretch of the rest of the games because of how much work he's getting.
Yeah, you know, but the other side of that, he is still getting all this work.
Exactly.
You know, so I wonder if we as a whole were a little too low, Matt, on LeSean McCoy over the last couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, if you look back, week one, he put up 20 points. And then yesterday, he had his best game of the season. Mm-hmm. He, for the most part, I think, he's been good. I think maybe we expected a little more. But the work is there. I mean, you look at the Jordan Howards, the Jay Ajayis. I still contest the guy you really want is a guy like Mark Ingram, who went from having 30 touches the week prior, 26 touches yesterday. That's a guy who, you know, was going a hell of a lot later than these guys. With the exodus of Adrian Peterson, it seems like he's sitting in a really nice spot.
Yeah, I think so too. Sitting in a really, really nice spot. I very much agree with that. All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back, so this was the Bills playing at 30, right? And I'm thinking about this, and the Bears win again with defense. And Mitchell Trubisky completing four passes. I figured out what John Fox is doing. I'm going to explain to you exactly what that is when we return here on the Roto Experts.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
The Chicago Bears, they won a football game yesterday. Again, the Bears win 17-3 as a good Carolina football team. Bears sit now 3-4.
Yeah, well, that was a, I don't know if it's, that was an easy call that the Bears were going to win that game.
Was it?
To me, it was.
I didn't think so. I thought they would have their way. Look, the Bears have played really well at home.
Exactly. And the Bears defense plays good at home. The Bears defense scored 31 fantasy points yesterday.
I had one call I really like, and it was right for the first half and then just wrong the rest of the way.
That rookie had, what, 275-yard-plus touchdowns?
Yeah, he felt good for him. It was you saw this all over Twitter, but it was a year to the day that he, like, tore up his knee in college. And then he came back today, or yesterday, and scores those two defensive touchdowns, which was awesome. Let's talk about the Bears offense, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Trubisky threw the ball seven times. Seven times for four completions total.
Well, let's highlight one of those catches was to Tariq Cohen, who should be involved in this passing game as much as possible for 70 yards.
70 yards. Of course, Jordan Howard rushed the ball 21 times. Tariq Cohen did not rush the ball a single time. Jordan Howard rushes the ball 21 times for 65 yards. Doesn't get into the end zone on the one-inch line and give another chance at it, which is obviously, how do you not... Your defense is playing amazing. How do you not give Jordan Howard one more shot at this thing? I was very frustrated. But I thought about this morning, to be honest. And I'm like, Bears are 3-4. The defense is playing really well. And they're not throwing the football. Like, what the F is John Fox doing? I remembered. Do you remember that one year in Denver, John Fox made the playoffs not throwing the ball?
Tim Tebow.
Correct. Mm-hmm. John Fox is treating this team like it's Tim Tebow again. Let the defense do her thing. We're not going to pass the ball. I'm not going to lose with this rookie quarterback. I'm just going to run and run and run and play defense. And that's what this is. He is treating Mitchell Trubisky like Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I mean, 37 offensive snaps. That is like extremely, extremely low.
Correct.
And they held the opposing team to 3 points. Look, I've been the camp supporter. He's sitting over there by you. His face is turned. Nobody puts baby in the corner. Cam is in the corner right now.
I see that.
And the problem is he had two incredible weeks throwing everything. Even Thursday night when he didn't have a good game throwing, he put the fantasy points up. But yesterday, I mean, if I could put the handmaiden's tail hat on him, that would be on him right now. Because, you know, I don't know. That was everything set up well for him. And, okay, that first turnover, it was a bad toss, but you know Samuel didn't dive on it. Ball bounced here and there. The interception was off the hands in the air, but you know what? You got to put up more than 3 points, especially when you run that many offensive plays.
Well, that's the thing. You have the ball for so many plays. You have to put up more than 3 points. I get this Bears defense is pretty good. You have to do better than this.
I still think that Carolina is going to have some of these kind of performances in them. You feel what I'm saying?
Okay.
Especially on the road and especially against a team like the Bears. It was a classic trap game, and the Bears play good defense at home. So it happened. You know, Carolina, you still see flaws in parts of Cam's game where he can be better. So I think I don't want to say it's a one-off, but you're going to get these kind of performances. But for the most part, I do think you can write this off.
Well, you know what's interesting here for me, Corey? You're writing this off. They had a mini bye here. This is off a mini bye. They played 10 days ago against Philadelphia at home.
Yeah, nah, you're right. But their trap game, they dropped the ball.
Yeah.
They dropped the ball.
That's exactly what it was. They probably came off this bye. They didn't practice hard enough, and weren't as focused because they're facing the Bears. A week later, this upcoming Sunday, they have a division game against Tampa, which is a very big game for both teams.
Yep,
you're absolutely right. It was a trap game. They looked past them.
Last two games, they lost to the Eagles. They lost to the Bears. That's two NFC opponents. I was just saying NFFC opponents, and that could really later on this season be a detriment to them, and they got to get their act together. The one encouraging thing is Cam is going to continue to run.
Yes.
But, that is what you kind of want. So for fantasy going forward for me, Cam is still a top 10 quarterback. I mean, I'm going to have a hard time. Look, you're going to have some games like yesterday, but you're also going to have some big time games as well.
So that's the truth, right? We talked about Tyrod Taylor a moment ago, and I think it's important to bring it up with Cam Newton too. Ever since Cam has gotten more comfortable that his shoulder is healthy, that he, as a football player, is healthy, he's running again. And I don't think that's going to change. 9 for 50 yesterday, led this team in rushing. Christian McCaffrey got the start, didn't do anything on the ground. Now, Corey, this has been a concern for you, that even though those carries are going to pick up and he himself will be a starter,
He's a running back.
And he can't run.
Now, you got plenty of players like this in fantasy. You know what I mean? Like the Duke Johnson types and stuff like that. Chris Thompson, guys like that. But I think they can give you a little bit more per pop if they, the Marlon Max, if they can get the football in their hands between the tackles a little bit more. With McCaffrey, we're not seeing it at all, though.
Now, McCaffrey is, 7 catches for 36 yards. The PPR, it's fine, right? You're getting double-digit points. You're happy with that. But, Matt, and I know this means nothing anymore because it was 2.5 months ago. But for those that drafted Christian McCaffrey a little bit earlier than some of these passing down backs, I said it last week, I'll say it again, it's a little disappointing that he hasn't been able to do anything on the ground.
Yeah, you know what? It's disappointing, but is it really? Because coming into the game, he had as many catches as DeAndre Hopkins. The problem is the rushing, we got to look at that. I mean, week one, he got 13 rush attempts.
Right.
Since then, he hasn't hit double digits. Yesterday, he had 7 rushing attempts. He had 7 total the previous 2 games. So it's not like they're giving him the opportunity. I think at some point that may have to happen. I do believe at some earlier in the first half, he did leave shortly. I think he hurt his wrist.
Okay.
But he came back. Look, as long as he keeps catching the ball.
Doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I don't get it. If the passing game wasn't working, just keep going to this kid, get him in the open field. But, it was just a disappointing day altogether. Benjamin owners, Funchess owners. I mean, everybody. I even thought Ed Dixon could have a nice day yesterday.
And it just,
me too. I agree. I thought I was on the Ed Dixon thing yesterday too. I didn't play him nowhere, but I was going to, and, it would have been a disappointment.
Nick O'Leary had a better day, definitely.
Yeah, he did.
Jack Nicholson, Nicholas's grandson.
When he told me that, I was like, what? Kelvin Benjamin, 3 for 65. Devin Funchess, 4 for 41. It kind of was what it was with Carolina and with Chicago. Let's talk about Arizona. And let's talk about this team. And you mentioned, Matt, that as a Bills fan, you were hoping that your team should have drafted Deshaun Watson. They should have drafted Pat Mahomes, even though we haven't seen him yet. They should have drafted a quarterback, because it's clear they're not super sold on Tyrod Taylor. But playing well, the Bills, all right? They have a good record. They're fighting, absolutely in the fight for a playoff spot here. Sean McDermott's doing a nice job. I think there's a lot to like when it comes to the Bills. When you look at the Arizona Cardinals, this is a team that was in a position to draft their quarterback, and they didn't.
Yeah,
you kept hearing they were going to trade up for Mahomes, they were going to do something. They were certainly in a position to draft Deshaun Watson, and they didn't. They went back with this veteran-laden team, back with Carson Palmer, back with Drew Stanton. The one quarterback they brought in was Blaine Gabbert.
And back to being irrelevant by Week 10.
Because these old guys, they're old. And when you are old, you don't produce like you used to. You don't get healthy or stay healthy like you used to. Carson Palmer out for the next 8 weeks with a broken arm.
Yeah, but I felt really bad for Larry Fitzgerald. I saw his press conference. I saw a little bit of that.
What did he say?
Basically, he said, you lose your best player. They lost David Johnson week one.
Right.
You lose Carson Palmer to a broken arm. I mean, what more? what can this team do? Forget about not getting a quarterback and everything. If David Johnson's healthy, look, Carson Palmer broke his arm yesterday.
Yeah.
That could happen. We saw Aaron Rodgers,
absolutely,
you know, pretty much break his collarbone. So, I mean, injuries are going to happen in the NFL, and it's kind of a shame. But, you know, if this team was fully healthy, I think they compete for the NFC West and, you know, win like 10 games, 10, 11 games.
Right.
Now, going forward, it's going to really be a dumpster fire, I think. The question is do they unload like a Larry Fitzgerald in the next week or something like that? That's going to be the main question. Adrian Peterson, we were saying sell, sell, sell. Look, obviously everything went awry yesterday, but still, I think coming off of that performance last week, I think that was the best you were going to see for him this year. And, you know, yeah, I kind of feel bad because this was like the last hurrah for Arizona.
Sure.
Yep.
And yeah,
it's Larry Fitzgerald's finals. It might be his last dance.
This is Larry Fitzgerald's last dance. It's Carson Palmer's last dance. Hell, it's Bruce Arians' last dance.
Yep.
This is it. I mean, this is it. And I don't understand. You have seen Drew Stanton come in with Carson Palmer when he gets hurt. And Carson Palmer, at his age, always gets hurt. And you have Drew Stanton, who sucks, still behind him. He absolutely sucks. He's been in the NFL for 11 years. He cannot move the offense.
But just look at that.
He's not going to be the quarterback.
So blame Gabbert.
Blame Gabbert to be the quarterback.
I agree.
Look at every team's backup. It's really bad. I mean, we don't have 32 really starting quarterbacks out there. You know, you look at it and you're like, on a lot of teams. So the backup scenario for most is just piss poor.
I completely agree, and I completely understand that. However, we've seen this show before with this guy. Blaine Gabbert was the attempt to upgrade, and I agree with Corey. Whether it's this week or next or whatnot, Blaine Gabbert's going to be the quarterback. So they did attempt to do it, and Drew Stanton won out, and maybe, you know, Bruce Arians will come out and be like, Blaine's going to start on Sunday. So
Blaine is breaking case of
like Darren McFadden.
Yeah, like Darren McFadden.
And I kind of agree with you with that. It's like, I won't kill them if they do start Blaine Gabbert. But Drew Stanton does nothing with his offense, right? Right. Drew Stanton comes in, the offense goes nowhere. Not that it was going anywhere with Carson Palmer in this game, but I was ready for that Carson Palmer garbage time second half that we're so used to, and we didn't get any. So anybody that you own on the Cardinals, literally anybody, Adrian Peterson, Larry Fitzgerald, J.J. Nelson, Jerron Brown, John Brown, It's a disaster. It is a disaster. Andre Ellington obviously didn't play in this one. Disaster.
It's looking pretty dim in the desert right now.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible in Arizona. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other side of this game. The Los Angeles Rams sit at 5-2, first place in that NFC West. Can they sustain it? And can their fantasy players on their team sustain it? We'll talk about it when we come back here on the Roto Experts.
Are you new to daily fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to dailyroto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to dailyroto.com to rock daily fantasy sports.
So on the other side, you have the Los Angeles Rams, who are at 5-2. Led by Todd Gurley, 106 yards rushing and a touchdown. Todd Gurley doing his thing. Where is Todd Gurley going to go in drafts next year, Corey?
In drafts next year, he'll be going in the middle of the field. He'll be back into that top five conversation.
Okay.
You still have Lev Bell. Zeke Elliott have a suspension, so he'd probably be the third or fourth running back to go off the board in somewhere in that 4-8
range.
Eight range, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you had Todd Gurley go off there. You had Robert Woods once again lead this team in receiving, 5 for 59. I picked Robert Woods up in a league, and I think you should. You know, I'll check his percentages in a second, but 5 for 59, once again leading the team in receiving, at 7 targets. Cooper Kupp led the way with 10 targets, 4 for 51, and a touchdown. And your boy Sammy Watkins, 3 for 42.
He got 7.2 in a PPR.
That's what it's come to.
But look, okay, Cooper Kupp, he almost had 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That first quarter, you know, it was thrown to him. He couldn't hold on, but he was kind of covered, so I'm not gonna put that on him. but he's still Goff's guy. I mean, Goff does want to get it to him. So if you have Cooper Kupp, he's a nice bye week replacement, as we said, with weeks 8 and 9, 6 teams on a bye in each. So maybe the Rams are there too. I'm not sure. I'm not sure when that bye is, but
the Los Angeles Rams. Let's see here. I think it's this week the Rams are on bye.
So. But look, this team, in all honesty, they should have beat Seattle.
Yeah, oh yeah.
At home. So I'm looking really forward. Look,
they do have a bye. They do have a bye this week.
It's going to be a tough task going into Seattle. So I don't know if they can pull that off. But this team is going to be competitive the rest of the way. They're going to have a say. And, you know, if look, Sammy's got a... He still has some tough matchups coming his way. I mean, he's pretty much got him and Dez have the two toughest, you know, cornerback matchups to face. But this team, like I said, what they learned a couple of weeks ago, it's really encouraging.
Well, he has new, if I'm not mistaken, they got the Patriots coming up.
Oh, they could. I know they got the Giants.
No, they don't have the Patriots. The Rams. But the Chargers have the Patriots, the Rams. I get them mixed up.
The schedule, upcoming schedule for Los Angeles. They have a bye this week, and they face the Giants, they face the Texans, they face the Vikings, they face the Saints, they face the Cardinals, the Eagles, the Seahawks, the Titans, and then the Niners.
This doesn't really look too promising for Sammy Watkins.
Why
do
we still own Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, he's a bench player. We're talking about a bench player. Yeah. Robin Woods is getting more work.
Who would you rather own, Robert Woods or Sammy Watkins?
Robert Woods.
Okay. But I would have Sammy on my... Look, you could cut him. You could cut him, okay. But you know what? There's still a half a season left before the playoffs. You still got the playoffs. And this is a guy that, look, you may need at some point later on in the season to put this guy in. And look, if he's facing Xavier Rhodes, you don't want to play him. But if he has a matchup that's not one of these top cornerbacks, the talent is still there. And
the talent is there, but
who are you picking up on the waiver wire to drop?
Robert Woods.
It's
Janoris Jenkins, Xavier Rhodes, Patrick Peterson, Richard Sherman, and that crew, the Legion of Boom. I mean, these are some of the matchups he has before you get to Week 16. You roster him,
sure, but you don't ever want to.
I'm never putting him in my lineup.
Would you rather own Josh Doctson or Sammy Watkins?
Well, this is what's coming after tonight.
I guess right now you got to take the shot on the more upside from Doctson. Doctson's arrow is pointing up,
yeah.
while your man Watkins is just like a donut. He's a fantasy zero right now.
Nothing.
I love the kid. There's nothing you can do to him because you cannot put him and you cannot start him.
As of now, you can't. You really can't. But I mean, I don't. There's not like you're getting this fantastic upside with Robert Woods neither. I'm still going to – the guy I want to start on this Rams team every week is Cooper Kupp. He's going to get the targets. He gets the red zone looks too. I mean, Goff really loves this kid. So, look, it's going to run through Gurley still. That's their guy. They were smart a couple of weeks ago. He had like 14 touches and they lost. And they were like, hey – let's go back to the well with Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
And you see Goff making the progressions. They had a really nice call yesterday when they did a fake handoff. He ran it in 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing the Rams did was they went out, they got a young, innovative coach. So, look, I don't have a problem. You want to drop Sammy, that's fine. You're playing a shallower league. But I just have a hard time believing that talent on the waiver wire.
According to Yahoo Leagues, your standard Yahoo Leagues, Robert Woods is only owned in 37% of those leagues, while Sammy Watkins at this point is owned in 86% of those leagues. It should be flipped. It should be flipped. I get it. I understand the talent of Sammy Watkins. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. And maybe during the bye week they will figure something out. But right now I have no problem if you want to cut Sammy loose. I really don't. And Matt, I know you always ask who. Yeah. Robert Woods is a perfect example of that.
You can go ahead and do that. I don't see. Look, if you need to get some certain points in a bye week filling, okay, I do understand that. I don't think it's a major, like, you know, you're making a great move or something like that. Maybe if Doctson pops, which I'm really hoping for, like that's my Terrell Pryor insurance.
Sure.
So I'm hoping both these guys actually have a good game tonight. I'm hoping we get that like 45-42 game. I think this is a really interesting, fun game tonight. Because look, obviously 5-1 Eagles, they considered, you know, people having the power rankings number one
best team in football. Yeah.
But this Washington Redskins team, don't sleep on them. They're a good team.
It's good.
They don't have Josh Norman right now. That's a negative, and they had another loss on the defense. But the defense has been playing well. They have a lot of talented pieces here. And even without Jordan Reed, when he doesn't play, you got a guy like Vernon Davis who can step right in for him. Thompson's been really good. And if one of these guys, look, they have talented receivers who really haven't done nothing this year in Crowder, Doxson, Pryor. So if this offense really starts to click, watch out.
And Kirk Cousins just continues to do his thing and make his money. And like Kirk Cousins is making a ton of money. And if he can just stay healthy, he's going to make a boatload again.
Well, he's looking, San Francisco is just waiting, for the season to end.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And they're waiting for the season to end. Speaking of teams that are waiting for season to end, let's hit on Indianapolis here. They get completely demolished by the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday, 27-0.
Shut them out.
And there's no point.
Saxonville, 10 sacks.
At no point was this a game, right? Like, it just wasn't. Ever, from the opening bell to the end, a 27-0 destruction. Blake Bortles threw the ball 18 times and threw for 330 yards.
Yeah. That's just extremely efficient right there. Blake Bortles should not be carving up defenses like that. But that's what the state of the Indianapolis Colts defense is. We're looking at a team that is essentially has quit. I think that Malik Hooker went down yesterday.
Yeah,
He's done for the year, the rookie. You know what I'm saying? So now you got a situation. You see T.Y. Hilton. I mean, just the offensive line, they got to play better. They got to block better. I mean, what the hell is going on? Calling out the teammates, the luck situation. That's a season loss. Pagano on his way out the door. I mean, this is a team that you can just load up against now. It looks as if they've thrown in the towel. Throwing the towel.
Well, the one thing it's promising is the Mack field, because I think Marlon Mack will just increasingly be inserted into this backfield. They got nothing to lose now. Frank Gore, 34 years old. Fantastic career for me, probably a Hall of Famer, be honest with you. But it's a tough situation. They don't have a line. You went up against a really tough team. You can't throw against that team. And the crazy part in that game yesterday, everybody was so excited about Chris Ivory, and Ivory got you the touchdown. And TJ Yeldon gets a 59-yard touchdown run. He winds up having a hell of a day. I mean, on the ground, he had what? 122 yards on 9 attempts. So, look, I mean, Indianapolis, we knew this was, there's no Andrew Luck. We knew this was just pretty much a lost season.
So I wasn't here for that Thursday show.
Mr. Sussman.
The day after the news comes out about Andrew Luck. But I did make sure to text you guys before I got out of the airplane.
I did say Sussman was in Rome telling everyone that Andrew Luck. I knew it.
Was running around the streets like I was a Rocky, man.
Arms up. You came on the BFFs though and talked about it that next day. So yeah, I got it in there.
But now I'm with you guys who I was so emphatic with.
Yeah, no doubt.
You got to save it for the king. Right now he's cuddled up in his crib. But tomorrow he's
speaking of the king. You know he's not here, right?
He's in Seattle.
Well, he had his
he had a giant game at 4 o'clock.
He had the 4 o'clock game. Like I said, he's got to get his beauty rest.
Oh, King will be back tomorrow. We'll hear from obviously Seahawks.
A very happy King.
I don't know.
Oh, by the way,
I don't know why.
How bad did he overthrow Doug Baldwin on that?
Oh, ball?
Doug Baldwin was like.
I needed that one, man. Yeah. I could have used that one. That'd have been a nice one.
He had a big game for you.
Yeah, that's what Baldwin. People tell me, can I bench Doug Baldwin? All right, then you're going to miss that 9 for 900.
And Jimmy Graham should have had a much bigger
game. He should have had a bigger game also.
He bails you out of the end, but it should have been triple.
He could have had 4 touchdowns.
I was three, but yeah, sure. Yeah. We'll talk more about the Giants in a second, but let's just finish up Indianapolis.
You can stay there.
We'll talk about that in a second. We'll get to them for real. But with Indianapolis, you're at T.Y. Hilton. I listened to you guys. I traded for T.Y. Hilton. What do I do?
He's going to have his games.
I know these are extremely tough matchups.
I'm
going to
see if I can get a discount.
You still buy him?
Well, I mean, look at the state. Look at the Packer wide receivers now. We got
to
really
get into that a little bit as well.
In the next hour. Yeah. But, I mean, look at. Things change so drastically every week. That's the beauty of the NFL. That's the beauty of fantasy.
It's a week-to-week league.
You are constantly, if you're not focused, you ain't winning.
Yep, It's a week-to-week league. Things change. Situations change from week to week. So the kid Brissett can come out next week. Obviously, T.Y. Hilton can get a ton of targets, and you can keep that going. But, you know, it's going to be tough for any of the guys to hit their value. And Dante Moncrief is another one where you just like...
Droppable. Nice step by that. Without Andrew Luck, he's droppable, dude. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about the Jaguars here for a moment. Wrap up the hour. And we'll get into the Packers here in hour number two. Roto Experts. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning. And listen, we can all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. So that's kind of the state of the Indianapolis Colts. Jackie D, by the way, 6 for 44. In one league, I own Jack Doyle and Nick O'Leary.
Real quick,
I'll start one of them.
How great is the Captain Andrew Luck Twitter
account? Oh, it's fantastic.
It really is. Everyone should follow it.
It's been a good one, absolutely. On the other side, as I said, Blake Bortles threw for 330 yards somehow. Alan Hurns at 5 for 101. Marquise Lee, 4 for 72. I know everybody, guys, is very excited about the return of Dede Westbrook. I know people are talking about that. He comes back in week 9. What's what I'm about to ask you? Like, why? Like, I know he showed
a lot. He's a former Biletnikoff winner. You need something on the outside there.
He showed a lot in the preseason, but... typically, when the Jaguars do tend to be successful, it's really just a lot of running the ball and a lot of Leonard Fournette. And obviously, Fournette didn't play yesterday. He should be back after their bye. But are we all that excited for Dede Westbrook? I mean, is this a guy we're going to ever want to really start? I don't want to start Alan Hurns or Marquise Lee.
I saw some smart people picking him up. I even put some small bids in.
Okay.
If you lost Odell Beckham and you were a Stephon Diggs owner like me, I'm rolling out Doxson and Pryor in some leagues each week the last couple of seasons. I put Benjamin in last week. He did nothing. You know, all I needed was one catch to win a friggin' damn game this week that I lost by half a point. And then this week he goes and scores two touchdowns on two touches. So, look, it's the state. It's all about your team. You have to – is D.D. Westbrook that important? Maybe not, but you're just hoping for something in certain situations.
Yeah, I understand. I get it, right? Like you're just hoping for a spark, and if it doesn't cost you anything, why not? Would you pick up Dede Westbrook and drop Sammy Watkins?
I don't know if I do that. Maybe you do it. I'm going to say, look, the talent is still there. I don't want to have to start Watkins. I don't. I do want him on my bench, but look, if you want to do that, you can do various different things. But I mean, you're taking a rookie that's not coming back to what, week 9?
Correct.
So you got
at your list.
You got another couple of weeks on a team that's not going to throw a lot.
I agree.
I'd rather have Sammy Watkins.
I agree with that. Okay. Without Leonard Fournette, Chris Ivory got the start. He got the goal line touchdown, 17 for 47. So he started Chris Ivory. Satisfied, right? You got your double-digit points. You're satisfied. But T.J. Yeldon showed up yesterday.
And Emory called it on lineup block, too. He said the other running back from Alabama was the guy that was probably going to have the good game. I think moving forward, you're not ever going to be able to trust T.J. Yeldon, no matter the situation with Fournette's injury is. Chris Ivory will still be in the mix. But as long as Fournette is out there, he's the running back to own. I would not go crazy going to waiver wire to scoop up T.J. Yeldon.
Again, the Jags have a bye this week. So yeah. Leonard Fournette's going to be back after the bye. So I totally agree. There's a very good chance T.J. Yeldon's inactive the next time they play.
And I think credit to Jacksonville. They did the smart thing.
With the bye coming up.
They had him inactive yesterday. You got a bye coming up. Let him rest. This is the guy your offense is running through.
Correct.
And you figured you could, with that defense alone, they showed they could beat the Colts yesterday.
Who would you rather have the rest of the way? Todd Gurley or Leonard Fournette?
Probably Gurley.
Okay.
I mean, Gurley's so involved in that passing game.
Okay.
And so I'm going to say Gurley. But, I mean, Fournette's been great. He's been a guy, look, even when he's not, he'll pop off that one big run need be. He gets in the end zone. He's got a nose for the end zone. He finds a way to score every week. So Fournette's been fantastic, but give me Gurley.
I'm with you. I was happy to see what T.J. Yeldon did yesterday. I've admittedly been a bit of a Yeldon truther. Like, I loved him in Alabama. I thought as a second-round pick, he was a steal for Jacksonville. It hasn't really happened over his couple of years here in the NFL. I still think T.J. Yeldon has some talent. I truly believe that.
Yeah, but I mean,
him, he can have talent, but he don't have a role.
Yeah.
No, I understand that. I completely understand that. But like, if this is the end for him in Jacksonville, like I still think he can go somewhere and be something. Maybe I'm wrong, and it's fine. But I like TJ.
Yeah, if you want to have him on your bench as something happens to Gordon,
he's
irrelevant
in fantasy. You're not starting TJ.
You're never going to start him. He's just somebody that if you just put on your bench, and if Fournette had a serious injury, him and Ivory say split time and stuff like that.
Little desperation there. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with that. So there you go. Jacksonville out 4-3, and the Colts fall at 2-5. That AFC South, man, is weird. That is clearly Houston's for the taking at this point, but Tennessee looked so disgusting yesterday.
Yeah, no, they really did, and you know, it's a division where a rookie quarterback could win it.
Legitimately should win, to be honest with you. All right, we'll talk about that game coming up here in a bit. We'll also get the Green Bay on YouTube Live. That comes your way in just about 10 minutes or so from now. We'll take a break here. We'll end hour one. Get to hour number two here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is the Roto-X.